Dealing with foreign intelligence service embedded agents in Hungary requires a strategic and systematic approach to identify, neutralize, and deter their activities. Here are some steps that could be taken. 1. Counterintelligence operations. Enhance counterintelligence efforts to detect and disrupt the activities of foreign intelligence agents operating within Hungary. This may involve monitoring communications, conducting surveillance, and employing other investigative techniques to identify and track suspected agents. 2. Information sharing. Strengthen cooperation and information sharing between Hungarian intelligence agencies and their counterparts in allied countries. Sharing intelligence on foreign intelligence operations can help identify embedded agents and disrupt their activities more effectively. 3. Security clearance procedures. Review and tighten security clearance procedures for individuals working in sensitive government positions or industries with access to classified information. Thorough background checks and ongoing monitoring can help prevent foreign agents from infiltrating key institutions. 4. Cybersecurity measures. Enhance cybersecurity measures to protect government networks, critical infrastructure, and private sector entities from foreign espionage activities. This may involve investing in advanced cybersecurity technologies, conducting regular security audits, and promoting cybersecurity awareness among employees. 5. Diplomatic pressure. Use diplomatic channels to confront foreign governments suspected of sponsoring espionage activities in Hungary, lodging formal complaints, expelling diplomats suspected of espionage, and imposing diplomatic sanctions can send a strong message of deterrence. 6. Public awareness campaigns. Raise awareness among the general public about the threat posed by foreign intelligence services and the importance of vigilance against espionage activities. Educating citizens about common espionage tactics, such as recruitment efforts, cyber espionage, and social engineering can help prevent successful infiltration. 7. International collaboration. Strengthen cooperation with international partners, including intelligence sharing and joint operations, to address the threat of foreign espionage collectively. Collaborating with other countries facing similar challenges can enhance Hungary's ability to detect and counter embedded agents. 8. Legislative reforms. Enact or update legislation to enhance the legal framework for prosecuting individuals engaged in espionage activities on behalf of foreign governments. Clear and robust legal mechanisms can facilitate the prosecution of suspected agents and deter others from engaging in similar activities. 9. Protection of key assets. Implement measures to protect key national assets, including government facilities, research institutions, and critical infrastructure from espionage and sabotage. Enhanced physical security, access controls, and insider threat detection mechanisms can help safeguard sensitive information and technologies. 10. Continuous assessment and adaptation. Regularly assess the effectiveness of counterintelligence measures and adapt strategies as needed to stay ahead of evolving threats. Intelligence agencies should remain vigilant and proactive in identifying and neutralizing foreign intelligence threats to Hungary's national security. Setting up an intelligence agency dedicated to combating the influence of human trafficking networks and the cocaine trade requires careful planning, coordination, and allocation of resources. Here's a step-by-step guide on how to establish such an agency. 1. Legal framework. Develop a legal framework that defines the mandate, powers, and jurisdiction of the intelligence agency. This framework should ensure compliance with national laws and international conventions related to counter-trafficking and counter-narcotics efforts. 2. Mission and objectives. Define the mission and objectives of the intelligence agency, emphasizing its commitment to disrupting and dismantling human trafficking networks and cocaine trafficking operations. Clearly articulate the agency's role in gathering intelligence, conducting investigations, and supporting law enforcement efforts. 3. Organizational structure. Establish an organizational structure for the intelligence agency, including divisions or units dedicated to specific tasks such as intelligence analysis, operations, technology, and liaison with other agencies. Ensure that the agency has the necessary resources and personnel to fulfill its mission effectively. 4. Recruitment and training. recruit personnel with expertise in intelligence analysis, law enforcement, counter-trafficking, and counter-narcotics operations, provide specialized training to equip them with the skills and knowledge required to combat human trafficking networks and cocaine trade effectively. 5, partnerships and collaboration. Forge partnerships with law enforcement agencies, government departments, international organizations, and non-governmental organizations, NGOs, involved in anti-trafficking and anti-narcotics efforts. Collaborate closely with these stakeholders to share intelligence, coordinate operations, and maximize impact. 6, intelligence gathering. Develop robust intelligence gathering capabilities to collect information on human trafficking networks and cocaine trafficking routes. This may involve utilizing various sources, such as informants, surveillance, intercepted communications, financial analysis, and open source intelligence, OSINT. 7, analysis and assessment. Establish an intelligence analysis capability to process, analyze, and assess the gathered intelligence. Use analytical techniques to identify trends, patterns, and vulnerabilities within human trafficking networks and cocaine trafficking operations. 8, operational support. Provide operational support to law enforcement agencies engaged in disrupting, dismantling trafficking networks and cocaine trafficking operations. This may include conducting joint operations, providing actionable intelligence, and assisting with asset forfeiture efforts. 9, technology and tools. Invest in technology and tools to enhance the agency's capabilities in intelligence collection, analysis, and dissemination. This may include surveillance equipment, communication interceptors, data analytics software, and information sharing platforms. 10, public awareness and prevention. Launch public awareness campaigns to educate the public about the dangers of human trafficking and drug trafficking, as well as how to recognize and report suspicious activities. Support prevention initiatives aimed at addressing the root causes of trafficking and drug abuse. 11, evaluation and adaptation. Regularly evaluate the performance and effectiveness of the intelligence agency in achieving its objectives. Identify areas for improvement and adapt strategies accordingly to stay ahead of evolving threats posed by human trafficking networks and the cocaine trade. By following these steps, a dedicated intelligence agency can play a critical role in disrupting and dismantling human trafficking networks and cocaine trafficking operations, ultimately contributing to the protection of vulnerable individuals and the reduction of drug-related harm. To carry out the work of building a crimeless future involves a combination of education, mentorship, empowerment, and community engagement. Here's a plan to develop such individuals. 1, education for empowerment. Implement comprehensive educational programs that emphasize critical thinking, problem-solving skills, empathy, and ethical decision-making from an early age. Encourage curiosity, creativity, and a sense of responsibility towards the community. 2, values-based curriculum. Develop a values-based curriculum that promotes integrity, respect for the rule of law, human rights, and social justice. Incorporate lessons on the consequences of crime, the importance of cooperation, and the benefits of contributing positively to society. 3, role models and mentorship. Provide opportunities for young people to interact with positive role models, including law enforcement officers, community leaders, and volunteers who are committed to promoting peace and social cohesion. Establish mentorship programs to support at-risk youth and help them develop life skills and resilience. 4, extracurricular activities. Offer a wide range of extracurricular activities, such as sports, arts, leadership programs, and community service projects, to engage young people in constructive and meaningful pursuits. Encourage teamwork, leadership development, and civic engagement. 5, youth empowerment programs. Empower young people to become agents of change in their communities through youth empowerment programs. Provide training in conflict resolution, mediation, and advocacy skills to equip them with the tools to address social issues and promote positive change. 6, community partnerships. Forge partnerships with schools, community organizations, faith-based groups, and local government agencies to create a supportive ecosystem for youth development. collaborate on initiatives to provide mentoring, counseling, and recreational opportunities for young people. 7, career pathways. Introduce young people to a variety of career pathways in law enforcement, criminal justice, social work, public service, and other fields related to crime prevention and community safety. Offer internships, job shadowing opportunities, and vocational training programs to expose them to potential career opportunities. 8, peer-to-peer education. Encourage peer-to-peer education and peer mentoring programs where older youth serve as positive role models and mentors for younger peers. Foster a sense of camaraderie, mutual support, and accountability among youth in the community. 9, recognition and incentives. Recognize and reward young people who demonstrate leadership, resilience, and a commitment to positive behavior. Provide incentives such as scholarships, awards, and opportunities for personal and professional development to motivate and inspire youth to excel. 10, continuous evaluation and improvement. Regularly evaluate the effectiveness of youth development programs and initiatives to identify areas for improvement and innovation. Solicit feedback from young people, parents, educators, and community stakeholders to ensure that programs are meeting the needs of participants and achieving desired outcomes. By investing in the holistic development of young people and empowering them to become positive contributors to society, we can cultivate a generation of super units who are equipped to lead the way towards a future free from crime and violence. The concept of a pipeline from institutionalized settings to involvement in crime often involves several interconnected factors. Here's how such a pipeline might manifest. 1, institutionalization. Individuals may become institutionalized through various means, including incarceration in correctional facilities, placement in juvenile detention centers, or residency in long-term care facilities, such as orphanages or psychiatric hospitals. These settings can sometimes foster a sense of alienation, hopelessness, and disconnection from mainstream society. 2, lack of rehabilitation. Inadequate rehabilitation and reintegration programs within institutional settings can contribute to individuals being ill-prepared to reintegrate into society upon release, without access to education, vocational training, mental health support, or substance abuse treatment, individuals may struggle to find lawful employment or stable housing. 3, social stigma and discrimination. Individuals who have been institutionalized often face social stigma and discrimination, making it difficult for them to access housing, employment, and social services upon release. This marginalization can push them towards illicit activities as a means of survival or as a way to regain a sense of power and agency. 4, peer influence. Within institutional settings, individuals may form connections with peers who are involved in criminal activities or who have a history of delinquency. These peer relationships can reinforce antisocial behaviors and attitudes, making it more likely that individuals will become involved in crime upon release. 5, lack of support networks. Many individuals who are institutionalized lack strong support networks of family and friends who can provide guidance, encouragement, and practical assistance upon release. Without these support systems, individuals may feel isolated and vulnerable, increasing their susceptibility to recruitment by criminal networks or involvement in criminal activities. 6, economic hardship. Limited economic opportunities coupled with a lack of financial resources upon release can push individuals towards criminal activities as a means of generating income. The allure of quick money and material possessions may be particularly enticing for those facing economic hardship and social exclusion. 7, mental health and substance abuse issues. Many individuals who are institutionalized struggle with mental health disorders, substance abuse issues, or both. Without access to adequate treatment and support, these individuals may self-medicate or engage in impulsive and reckless behaviors that increase their likelihood of involvement in criminal activities. 8, criminal networks and recidivism. Upon release from institutional settings, individuals may be targeted by criminal networks seeking to exploit their vulnerabilities and recruit them into illegal activities such as drug trafficking, theft, or extortion. In the absence of positive alternatives and meaningful opportunities, some individuals may become trapped in a cycle of recidivism and further involvement in crime. Addressing the pipeline from institutionalization to involvement in crime requires a multifaceted approach that includes investments in rehabilitation and reintegration programs, community-based support services, education and vocational training opportunities, mental health and substance abuse treatment, as well as efforts to reduce social stigma and discrimination. By addressing the root causes of criminal behavior and providing individuals with the support and resources they need to succeed, we can break the cycle of institutionalization and reduce the likelihood of involvement in crime. Research suggests that the worldviews of institutionalized children can be influenced by their experiences within these settings. Here are some insights into how institutionalization can impact children's worldviews and contribute to what's sometimes referred to as the prey-to-predator pipeline. 1. Loss of trust and security. Institutionalized children often experience a loss of trust and security as they are separated from their families and placed in unfamiliar environments. This loss can lead to feelings of abandonment, anxiety, and a sense of powerlessness, shaping their worldview to one where trust in authority figures may be diminished. 2. Normalization of violence and exploitation. In some institutional settings, children may witness or experience violence, abuse, or exploitation. This normalization of harmful behaviors can distort their perceptions of what is acceptable or normal, potentially desensitizing them to violence and making them more vulnerable to predatory individuals who exploit their vulnerabilities. 3. Dependency on authority figures. Institutionalized children may develop a dependency on authority figures within the institution for their basic needs, including food, shelter, and emotional support. This reliance on authority figures can make them more susceptible to manipulation and grooming by predatory individuals who position themselves as caretakers or protectors. 4. Limited socialization and peer influence. Children in institutional settings may have limited opportunities for socialization with peers outside of the institution, which can result in a restricted worldview shaped primarily by interactions with staff and other residents. This limited socialization can make them more susceptible to the influence of predatory individuals within the institution who may exploit their isolation and vulnerability. 5. Normalization of survival strategies. Institutionalized children may develop coping mechanisms and survival strategies to navigate the challenges of their environment. These strategies may include behaviors such as aggression, manipulation, or submission, which can be exploited by predatory individuals who prey on vulnerable children. 6. Internalization of negative self-concepts. Institutionalized children may internalize negative self-concepts based on their experiences of rejection, neglect, or abuse. This negative self-perception can contribute to feelings of worthlessness, shame, and low self-esteem, making them more susceptible to manipulation and control by predatory individuals who offer false promises of acceptance and validation. 7. Lack of protective factors. Institutionalized children may lack protective factors such as stable family relationships, positive role models, and social support networks, which can buffer against the influence of predatory individuals. Without these protective factors, they may be more vulnerable to exploitation and manipulation. To address the prey-to-predator pipeline, it's essential to implement comprehensive reforms within institutional settings to ensure the safety, well-being, and positive development of children. This includes strengthening safeguards against abuse and exploitation, providing trauma-informed care and support services, promoting positive relationships and attachments, and facilitating the transition to stable family or community-based care whenever possible. Additionally, efforts to address the root causes of institutionalization, such as poverty, family breakdown, and inadequate social support systems, are crucial for preventing children from entering this harmful cycle in the first place.